lovely pod people, and welcome to a new episode of Australian Politics Live, our podcast at Guardian Australia. I'm Catherine Murphy, the political editor of Guardian Australia, and this project, as regular listeners know, is a collaboration with Gabby Chan, who is the political correspondent at Guardian Australia. This week, we've grabbed by the lapels, literally, and shoved him into a cupboard, the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce. We wanted to have a chat with him about several things, about whether or not politics had finally, in a funny way, caught up with him, about what he thinks about One Nation and preferences, and also about a decentralisation agenda, which Barnaby Joyce has been pushing very vigorously inside the government. And by a decentralisation agenda, what we mean is that Joyce wants to move services out of big cities like Canberra or Sydney or Melbourne out into the regions. And so we have a bit of a yak about all of those things. So grab yourself a cup of tea, polish your earbuds, listen up. That's coming up now. Barnaby Joyce, thank you very much for joining Politics Live.
You're welcome, Catherine.
Today's the first anniversary of you becoming leader of the National Party. Can you believe it?
What a joyous occasion.
Well, can you believe it?
Well, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's, I think we're doing good things. We've, country origin labelling right through the central Queensland, through the dams, through the inland rail, getting money on the table for that. Record commodity prices, cattle, meat, sheep, broad wools, fine wools, pork, sugar, wine contracts turned around. Even dairy, which we took through a crisis and now step up in prices there. One of the major banks came in yesterday, said they've had the biggest pay down in their rural book in their history as people make money and start paying off debts, and that's the reason we're here.
So I just want to take you back just briefly. When you arrived in Canberra, you made a bit of a splash for a variety of reasons.
Luckily, I calmed right down.
Well, no. Actually, I'm going to make a different point with you. Actually, I'm going to make quite a different point with you. When you arrived, you were a bit of an outsider in terms of just how people view establishment politics, right?
Yep.
You didn't talk in talking points. You weren't really interested in kind of disciplined messaging. Yep. You just said what you thought.
That's right. I think I'm pretty much stayed true to that.
Well, quite. But the question I've got for you is, do you think in a funny sort of way that politics is now caught up with you?
I think so, yeah. Okay, that's an egotistical statement, but I reckon that's the truth. I mean, what the issue is, and that's, people always think that Trumpism is new and all that sort of rubbish, but I've always believed that I'm talking to people, even on your show, as if they're sitting the other side of the table and try and talk one-on-one to them. Even if you can't do something to help a person, say, no, mate, I can't do that, and I'll tell you why. And and even if it's like, well, I just won't be able to do that deal. I won't be able to cut that deal for you. It's not possible. Of course, I might agree with you, but I won't be able to cut it. And rather than sort of come up with these impossible scenarios where you're explaining something that you truly don't believe in and you sound like a goose.
Yeah, well, not to put too fine a point on it. Now, just one other question, because I know you're here predominantly today to talk to the lovely Gabby Chan about your decentralisation agenda, which I reckon a lot of our listeners will be interested in.
I reckon.
But I just want to ask you one question about preferences and One Nation, has been a big issue, obviously, this week, because you've been upset about this deal that's happening in WA. Yes. Now, somewhere earlier in the week I heard you were asked, forgive me, I can't remember which program, but that someone asked you whether you had sought a guarantee from Malcolm Turnbull that the same thing wouldn't happen federally.
But look, it's blatantly obvious by my comments. First of all, the next best person to run Western Australia after the Liberal Party, as far as I'm concerned, well, I believe the National Party would be best, but the next best would be the Liberal Party after the National Party. The next best after the Liberal Party would be the National Party. The idea that someone says the next best person to run Western Australia is One Nation, I find that kind of interesting.
that's one way to express that, yes.
And then the other side is, for our side, the next best person to run the Western Australia after the National Party is the Greens. No, not if you believe in a mining industry.
No, I totally get why you're opposed to the deal, but I suppose my question is, are you in any, given the WA precedent, right, it's happened.
It's not going to happen. I wouldn't, we're not a marriage, we're a business relationship, but, I believe that there's got to be a clear indication that one preferences the other, and that's the way the Liberal Party and the National Party work. I know so many Liberal Party supporters, and they equally furious about this. They say, mate, look, we might have our differences, but we clearly understand if it wasn't the Liberal Party we'd be voting for, I'll tell you exactly who would be going to on the ballot paper, would be going to the National Party, because we understand you, we get you. And also you've got the requisite skills, because you ask yourself this question. You vote for a party, you've got to look in that party and say, okay, who would be the treasurer? Who would be the treasurer of Australia? If I believe that's the party to vote for, who's going to be the treasurer? Which person? Which person's going to be my defence minister? You know, we got record prices in so many rural commodities, and I'll give you a classic example. I have to deal with a lot of Islamic countries, and I move billions of dollars of Australian product by doing it. So just be a little bit cautious about what you say at times, because I have to go over to Indonesia, I have to go to Saudi Arabia. They're the biggest buyers of our wheat, the biggest buyers of our cattle.
So you think One Nation's causing you a problem?
If you articulated some of those views whilst you were trying to move product to them, yeah, they'd probably bring it up with you. And the thing is, I can go to Saudi. Never once has someone said to me, oh, Barney, you've got to become a Muslim. And I've never said to them, you've got to become a Christian. But you do understand that you've got to not, don't insult the other person while you're sitting down at dinner with them.
So it's problematic in that way. Have the Libs got anything to fear from the Nats, though, federally? Like, is that something – I'm thinking about three-cornered contests in the next election.
We have our rules of engagement. If it's an open seat, it's an open seat. And that's the way it goes. People will make their own mind up. But, Malcolm and I have it. I think people can see that. We've got a good working relationship. We work closely. We talk to different constituencies. But I always get annoyed when people say, oh, you know, the National Party's vote's not as strong as One Nation's or somebody else. Yeah, of course not, because we don't stand in every seat. We only stand in regional seats. And I suppose we could go stand in inner Sydney seats, but I don't think we'd get much of a vote. But we'd get enough where we could turn around and say, oh, look how big our vote is. Mm. But what really matters is effect. Effect comes from winning seats, winning lower house seats.
But does that mean, just to be clear before we get to decentralisation, are you holding out the prospect that Nats could preference One Nation ahead of Liberals
I'm not doing that. I you want a commitment from me?
I'm not going to do that. But what about the rest?
Well, no, I don't think that. Look, it's quite clear. When you go through, you've asked me a question which is kind of hypothetical, and I'm trying to give you the straightest answer I can. I'm not doing that, and my instructions will be for it not to happen. Now, where it goes from there, I don't know. But there you go. So there's your straight answer.
That's as clear as you could be.
But after that, people say, you're going to put them last? No, because I've got some – I remember talking to one party, and they believed that Prince Philip was in some clandestine plot with the Jewish people to bring about one world government. Now, I put them last, because I'm absolutely convinced that they are off their rockers, right? So they go down the bottom, and then I hear the next person, and the Communist Party go, well, you're kind of crazy too, so you can go somewhere down there. And then you work your way through to less and less and less crazy, and then that's how you should work your preference flows out. When some people say, oh, you should put Labor last, I go, no, I won't, because I don't think they're the worst people to run the country. Mm. I think they might be very, very bad, but I don't think they're worse. Mm. Believe you me, go over yarn to some of these other lunatics.
Individuals.
That you see in your Senate
Individuals.
And you'll find crazier people. You really will.
Well, I don't know if crazy is quite the segue we anticipated, Gabby, but how about we talk about decentralisation for a bit?
Yeah, let's talk about decentralisation, because the National Party has set up this Senate inquiry to look at decentralisation. Firstly, was this a way of circumventing a Labor inquiry into your move from of the APVMA electorate?
The Labor Party have gone off the reservation about us having the temerity to move a small section of a department that deals with rural issues to, surprise, surprise, a rural city that has a university, that does with rural science, that has a CSIRO. And then they say, oh, this, what are we going to do in Armidale? I said, well, I don't know, after you've been to the art galleries and the cathedrals and had a look around the schools and gone to the national parks and gone down the coast, I know you probably won't have any time left in your weekend as to what you're going to do. And this is, we've got to believe that the largesse of government the taxpayer has a right for it to be more evenly spread across the nation. And when you work for the public service, you work for the taxpayer. And in my job, when I used to work for QIDC, they asked me to go to Charleville. And I could have said, no, I'm not going to Charleville. They said, that's fine, Barney, you just don't have a job.
So you've used it, though, as a way of talking about housing affordability because
that's another thing that frustrates us, especially in the National Party. When we say, there's a housing crisis. We go, no, as far as we're concerned, average price for a house in Tamworth, $320,000. Average price of a house in Armidale, probably around about that figure. You know, if you want to give a family or two people a chance or one person a chance to get a house and pay it off, well, then in regional cities, and I'm not asking them to move to Gadooga, there's an opportunity to do this. Now, if you do it, you have to have a considered policy of also creating jobs in that area. APVMA does that. It's a classic example. Now, the Labor Party have decided that they're going to, drives me insane is what is the Labor Party's policy about helping regional Australia? What is it? Give me one.
But let's talk about this Senate committee because it's a really interesting press release you've put out, and you've called for every town ask for.
Yep. Tell us what you'd like.
Tell us what you want.
And
so when that lands on the desk of my little local Progress Association, town of 2,000 in Hardin, they're going to go, wow, we want a tax office.
Good.
You're raising expectations,
aren't you?
Like, how do you do it in a measured way?
You are talking to me now in the good city of Canberra. And around about 1910, this was kind of a few huts on the edge of the Molongo River, which is more the Molongo Creek, and the Murrumbidgee not that far away. There was nothing here. Now we've got 380,000 people here. And now the place apparently is so established that people don't want to leave here. Back in 1945, they didn't want to move here. It's government policy that created Canberra, and God bless it. Now the GDP of Canberra is less than 40% has anything to do with the public service. So it's been a success. Well done. Sydney, people have been kicking around Australia for about 40 to 60,000 years. There was no city called Sydney till around about 230, 240 years ago, right? So what does that mean? It was government policy, maybe not Australian government policy, but English government policy. And then we've invested, I'd say, a trillion plus dollars in a very small geographic area. Unremarkably, the prices reflect that investment and they're through the roof. If you invested the same amount of money at Dalby, the prices of houses at Dalby would be through the roof. So now you've got to show that investment going to new areas, and one of the we represent regional areas, and we're going to be trying to see what we can do to decentralise. So let's talk about that. And you know what the Labor Party will say? That they don't believe in decentralisation at all, and that everything should be in Canberra or Sydney.
But will there be a plan? Will you do something like the New South Wales government did, where you identify Evo cities that you want to build up and
I
talked
to Evo
in
cities
region.
And they sort of identify themselves, and these areas are...
Tell me names.
Well, Tamworth.
Yeah.
Armidale, Dubbo, Orange, Albury, Wagga, Rockhampton, Toowoomba, Geraldton. There's some good... Shepparton. Mildura. I mean,
will there be a structure though? Will we see a plan like a garden plan where you start building?
Well, that's why we have things called Senate inquiries. So you can flesh all these ideas out and more, and you can build on the inherent strengths that are there. And I just don't have any truck with this argument that you say, it's all too difficult, Barnaby. We've all got to stay in Sydney.
Well, that's a large conversation that is going to start a conversation, I know, with the listeners. Barnaby Joyce, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You are most welcome.
So thank you very much for listening and for your company. We really appreciate it. This podcast is produced by the marvellous Miles Martignoni. If you want to check out other podcasts The Guardian Australia works on, you can search for them in the same way that you search for us. If you're getting us through iTunes, don't forget, stop, leave us a rating or a review. It really does help in increasing the visibility of the podcast. Don't forget to recommend us to your friends if you like us. So basically, we will be back, Gabby and I, next week to bring you another episode of Brain Exploding Politics. Until then, take care of yourselves.